Would you pray with me? Loving God, the words that we have just heard are incredible. We find them hard to believe. Words of resurrection, of new life. We pray, O Lord, that you would help us not just to understand them, but more importantly, help us to see the truth that is in them. Help us to believe in our hearts and our minds that your Son did rise from the grave, and that he's now with you, and he lives for us. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. The home of Paul Laurence Dunbar, a noted poet, is open to the public in Dayton, Ohio. When Dunbar died, his mother left his room exactly as it was on the day of his death. At the desk of this brilliant man was his final poem, handwritten on a pad. And after his mother died, her friends discovered that Dunbar's last poem had been lost forever, because his mother had made his room into a shrine and not moved anything. The sun had bleached the ink in which the poem was written until it was invisible. The poem was gone. If we stay in mourning, we lose so much of life. But I would also think that we also lose much in life when we think of the resurrection as something that just happened nearly 2,000 years ago, or something that happens when we die. We would live a lot better lives if we would live as if the resurrection happens now, today, in our lives. Clarence Jordan, the late author of the Cotton Patch Gospels, he once said, "The proof that God raised Jesus from the dead is not the empty tomb, but the full hearts of his transformed disciples. The crowning evidence that he lives is not a vacant grave, but a spirit-filled fellowship, not a rolled-away stone, but a carried-away church." A carried-away church. I like that. As the young man dressed in white in the tomb said in our gospel reading, "Go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Why Galilee? What is it about Galilee? Why didn't Jesus just stay there and say, "Hey guys"? Galilee is not only where Jesus grew up, but it's also where he did the bulk of his ministry. Galilee is where people were healed. Galilee is where good news was shared. Galilee was where the Gerasene demoniac was cured. You know that demonic-possessed guy in the graveyard? Galilee is where 5,000 and also 4,000 people were fed. Galilee is where Jesus turned water to wine at the wedding in Cana. Galilee is where, after 30 mostly quiet years, Jesus got carried away and began creating resurrections all over the place. You see, I subscribe to the belief that every time someone changes for the better, every time someone is transformed, that's a resurrection. Those are the important ones. Otherwise, the first one has no meaning. The first resurrection, Jesus' resurrection, loses its power and purpose. just as surely as the ink faded from Dunbar's last poem. 5-year-old Brian had a pivotal verse to recite in his church's Easter program. He is not here, he's risen. Unfortunately, he couldn't remember what to say. And the director had to quietly announce to him what his lines were. And he then confidently grabbed the microphone and triumphantly shouted, "He is not here, he's in prison." When we don't meet Jesus in Galilee, we keep him imprisoned. Imprisoned in the tomb. Peter Rollins is a provocative writer, philosopher, storyteller, and public speaker. He wrote a book entitled The Divine Magician and has gained an international reputation for overturning traditional notions of religion and forming churches that preach the good news that can't be satisfied, that life is difficult, that we don't know the secret. And he once said, "Without equivocation or hesitation, I fully and completely admit that I deny the resurrection of Christ." This is something that anyone who knows me can tell you, and I'm not afraid to say it publicly, no matter what some people may think. And then there's one of those dramatic pauses. And he continues, "I deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ every time I do not serve at the feet of the oppressed. Each day that I turn my back on the poor, I deny the resurrection of Christ. When I close my ears to the cries of the downtrodden and lend my support to an unjust and corrupt system, I deny Jesus. However, there are moments when I affirm that resurrection, few and far in between as they are. I affirm it when I stand up for those who are forced to live on their knees, when I speak for those who literally have no voice, when I cry for those who have no tears left to shed." You see, that's meeting Jesus in Galilee. Have you met Jesus in Galilee? I have a few times. I've experienced resurrection several times, but more often than not, I've denied resurrections. I'm human, just like all of you. And I would imagine that that's true for most or all of us. But you see, that's what makes those resurrection moments, those trips to Galilee, so powerful for us. Because when we see them, when we participate in them, we go, "Yeah, Christ is risen. New life is here. There has been a transformation." And that's why Mark's gospel ends where I finished reading today. You might have noticed that there are other endings, but scholars believe Mark's gospel ended in such a weird way that they wanted to put a nice finish to it. You know, have some appearances afterwards and things like that. But I think Mark ended it at 8 because he wants people to go to Galilee, to participate, to look for, to see Jesus in little resurrections all over the place, to get carried away. Appearances, post-appearances are not important. What's important is what we do with the news of the empty tomb. The disciples saw him. How do we know they saw him? Because they caught fire. They caught fire after the resurrection and took off and got carried away and went all over, sharing the good news, healing, teaching, and loving the people. That's going to Galilee. Have you seen him in Galilee? I hope so.